I said Sunday morning that I hoped that this week would go by as quickly for you as it did for me. And I hope that it has. We have certainly enjoyed again being with you in this good congregation, and I appreciate the elders' invitation to come back and to be with you. It's always good to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ to people who love to hear it. And you all have kept coming each night. And I appreciate especially young parents with their children, and I know it's work. It's a lot of work. And you're tired after work, and you come and listen to some long-winded, loudmouth preacher, and you have endured this week, and I appreciate that so much. Again, we have visitors with us. That's always good to see. Would to God that we would have more people would be interested in the teaching and the preaching of the gospel, but you're here. And we want to, again tonight, as we close this series of lessons, we've entitled this lesson, Christ the Friend of Sinners. That's exactly what he is. He's a friend of yours and he's a friend of mine. The Apostle Paul said, while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. Not while we were perfect, but all of us needed for him to die. And he was willing to do that. God the Father was willing to give his only begotten Son so that we might live. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, Jesus came into this world to save sinners, and then he said, of whom I am chief. And maybe we all should feel that way, and to be so grateful to God for what he's done for us, to give us that hope of heaven. Imagine being without hope. What a horrible situation that is. Thank you all that have us either in your homes or taken us out. And we've just enjoyed being with you. The song, Take Time to Be Holy, I think the second verse says, make friends of God's children. And this is such a wonderful thing that preachers get to do. And I'm also glad that Judy's able to be with me, that we're able to be together. We love traveling together. We love each other, I think, and hope that that shows. And certainly, we want to go to heaven. My parents always said, marry somebody that'll help you to get to heaven. And I know I did. And it's been a real blessing to be with her these, 55 years we've known each other since 1963. And we've enjoyed our association together with each other and with God's people. So I thank you for this kind invitation to be with you. And like Doug said, we will be leaving shortly after services tonight. And we've got a granddaughter waiting for us to get home and to be with her. She's missed us too, I guess, a little bit. Turn in your New Testaments to Luke, the 7th chapter, and we'll begin our reading in Luke chapter 7 and verse 36. Luke chapter 7 and verse 36. Luke chapter 7, verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. Now, when they sat down to eat, they didn't sit down like you did today. They reclined. If you are right-handed, you'd recline on your left side and you would eat with your right hand. If you were left-handed, like some of us in here are, you would recline on your right side. And your feet would be away from the table, okay? That's the way they did it back then. I prefer our way of doing it now, but that's the way they did it. And so this Pharisee, and what did I say? Jesus was the friend of sinners? He made friends of his enemies, or he tried, didn't he? Didn't he? That's what he told us to do, and that's what he tried to do. And so when this Pharisee desired him to come and eat with him, he went to his house, and he sat down to meat. Verse 37, and behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner. Now, this word means she was a well-known sinner. She would have been a harlot, a prostitute, an ungodly, immoral woman, and everybody knew it. What did we say Jesus was a friend of? this woman came to the house, and this was allowed. Visitors were allowed to come to the meals, and people would stand around in the room while they ate. These rooms were large enough for that. So when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment. We can read about what prostitutes did. You can read about that in Proverbs chapter 7. And beginning in verse 17, with this ungodly woman who is luring this young man to her house. And she said, "I've got it smelling so good with expensive ointment." And so she would be fairly wealthy and be able to afford this expensive ointment. Verse 38. And she stood at his feet behind him. Now you got the picture? He's reclining on his left side with his feet away from the table. And so she is behind him, not face to face. Thought that was an interesting point. She wasn't facing him. She was behind him. Well, what was she doing there? Weeping. And began to wash his feet with tears. You've cried before, I'm sure. Then you have wept, where tears just flooded out of your eyes. This is what was happening. I want you to take the time to picture this. Have you got an 8x10 glossy picture of this woman? You got it? Got it in your mind? How she's standing at the feet of Jesus behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, so many tears that were falling on his feet, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. What is that a sign of, what she was doing? Well, it's a sign of her humility, and it was a sign of her desiring to be forgiven. What had she heard about this man to cause her to leave her occupation, which would bring her a lot of money and a lot of attention? And now when she heard where he was, she goes where he is. And she is crying so hard. And no doubt her hair is long. And she would be on her knees perhaps and wiping his feet with the hairs of her head, because she had supplied the water. Verse 39. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he's taking this all in, he spake within himself. You got that? He didn't say this out loud. He's thinking this. He spake within himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner." You put yourself in his position, the Pharisee. Here they are at the table, and he's thinking, "He ain't no prophet. If he were a prophet, he'd be moving it. Get on out of him. Leave me alone. If he were a prophet, that's what he'd do." Notice what the next verse begins with. "And Jesus answering said unto Simon," answering what? His thoughts. Do you ever have somebody say, "I know what you're thinking"? Do you ever tell anybody, "I know what you're thinking"? Jesus knew what he was thinking. I've thought about these big blimps, you know, the Goodyear up in Ohio. All the at these ball games and they're floating around, and sometimes they'll have a sign going across. And I wondered, what if every thought we thought was coming across our forehead? Sure is good to see you, and you're thinking, oh no, I just hate your gut. And it was coming across here. Oh, Brother Hafley, you did a good job, and your forehead saying, yeah. Jesus answering him said unto Simon, I've got somewhat to say to you. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, Simon, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, well, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. You've made the right answer. And he turned to the woman. Okay, where is he? Where is she? So he turns to the woman and said unto Simon. He's not looking at Simon, he's looking at her. Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman since the time I came in hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Do you know what he just proved to Simon? What did Simon say? If he were a prophet, he would have known who it was. He was only thinking about himself. He was so full of himself. And thinking, well, if he knew who that was, he wouldn't allow what's happening to him. We knew his thoughts because the Bible revealed Jesus knew them. And he taught that old boy a little lesson real quick, didn't he? A real lesson on humility. Did he need to hear that? Shake your head this way. Yes, he did. And I don't know how many people were in the room with him or eating around the table, but they all heard. They all heard. Did Simon need to hear these words? Sometimes we have to say some hard things to people because they need to hear it. Solomon had said in the long ago, Proverbs 16:18, pride goeth before destruction. That's the word. He was so full of himself, he was looking down on Jesus. Well, he ain't no prophet. Pardon the grammar. Her sins, which are many, Jesus knew the woman, didn't he? He knew her and he knew Simon's thoughts. That's who we're dealing with, folks. He knows your thoughts. He knows my thoughts. Thanks be to God that he forgives when I sin with my mind or with my eyes. That I can go to God and that same God will forgive me of that sin or those sins, which are many. How about you? Would you like to list all the sins you've committed in your life? God knows them all. Think about that. And yet he is still willing to have me to go to heaven with him. I don't know that kind of love. I don't know if I have that kind of love. I know that the Father does. How much does he love us? How much does he want us to go to heaven? And we fail so often because we do not pray. And by the way, I appreciate the good prayer we just heard. Somebody that's prayed before. And it shows. And we all need to pray to God. Be thankful to God that he forgives us of our sins. Jesus was the friend of this woman, a sinner. Everybody's looking down. He knows who she is. Look what she's doing. And he thinks he's so good. He thinks he's a prophet, but he's not, surely. But surely he was. Jesus said, I came into this world to save sinners. He said, I didn't come to the healthy. I came to the sick. For those that are well don't need a physician. Indeed, he is the great physician, and we need him every day of our lives. Let's go on to Luke, the 19th chapter. We could just stop at chapter 18 and verse 36, where 35, where he's talking to, he meets a blind man named Bartimaeus that Matthew tells us his name. And we might camp there just for a minute. Let's look at Luke chapter 18 and verse 35. And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. All right, here's another picture I want you to get. Here's a man, there are actually two, Matthew tells us. Two of them sitting by the wayside. Have you ever pretended to be blind? Ever close your eyes? You know what you knew? You knew at any moment you could open them and see. Everybody's not that fortunate, are they? There are some who are totally blind. We are so blessed. Here are two men sitting by the wayside. Luke only tells us about one. He sat there begging and hearing the multitude. And when the Bible talks about multitudes, it's not 25 or 40 people. It is thousands of people. People from all over the country have come to see this Jesus. And this is why the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees hated Jesus, because he was taking their popularity away from them. And they didn't like it. That's one reason. And everything he said about them was so, wasn't it? Yes, it was. The press was so great around Jesus. It would be exhausting. I can't imagine. This is why when Elvis Presley sang at the end of his singing, what did they always announce? Elvis has left the building. Why? He could not get into the throngs. He would get hurt. He would get injured. The press was so great, the Bible mentions that with Jesus. Multitudes were following him. Matthew said it was a great multitude. We mentioned earlier that he fed the 4,000, the 5,000. That was just the men. Not counting the women and children. Estimation close to 10,000 people. Imagine that. Imagine that. So here's two blind men on the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked, what's going on? What does it mean? What's happening? And they told him, verse 37, that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. Is that important, Jesus of Nazareth? Yes. Saul of Tarsus didn't have last names like we do. We distinguish. We have last names. They went by city. A lot of other fellows named Jesus. A lot of other fellows named Saul and Paul. Jesus of Nazareth passes by, and he cried. That means he shouted, saying, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." If you were blind and you knew about this Jesus of Nazareth, remember, you're blind. And you've been begging not to be healed, but just for money because you can't work, you can't see. And there was no groups for the blind. How humiliating. He cried, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." You know what he said when he said, "Thou Son of David"? The Messiah. I know who you are. The Old Testament prophesied the Son of David. This is going to be the king. This blind man knew that. And here he's walking by where I am. Verse 39, "And they which went before rebuked him." Hey, just keep it down, will you? You're on the side of the road here. Just why don't you hold it? "They rebuked him that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more." Wouldn't you? Would you say, "Oh, okay, I won't say anymore"? No, sir. He cried even louder. "But he cried so much the more, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." He wanted to get his attention. You know the things when I was little that I got for my birthday? I had to keep asking for. A lot of times we'd be in the five and dime store. You know what I'm talking about? In Danville, Kentucky. And the little glass, I can see the candy and the little toys right at my eye level. A little bit of glass right in front of me. "Oh, Mom, oh, Mom, oh, Mom." Things I kept asking for. If Bartimaeus had said, "Well, they told me to shut up, so I'll just be quiet." No, siree, indeedy do. He was not going to be quiet. He knew what this Jesus of Nazareth could do. Verse 40. Jesus stood. He was walking. But he stopped and commanded him to be brought unto him. I wonder, why did he command him to be brought to him? Well, wherever Jesus is going to go, there's going to be the throng. "Bring him to me." It would be easier for that to happen, to part the waves of the crowd. "Bring him to me." And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" Did Jesus not know? Remember, he knew what this woman, this sinner was. This notorious sinner was back in chapter 7. "What do you need?" And he said, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." Does that give you a chill? See, Bartimaeus wasn't talking to Mo. If a blind man comes to me, he's going to leave blind, isn't he? "What is your need? That you give me my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Receive thy sight. Thy faith hath saved thee." Just like the notorious woman, we didn't read the rest of it, but her faith, what she did, saved her. "Go and sin no more. Your faith has saved you." Somebody said, "Oh, yeah, see, that's all you got to do. Have faith. You don't have to do anything." No, it was what she did and what Bartimaeus did. Both of them had faith, didn't they, in Jesus. She would not have come to that dinner at the Pharisee's house, nor would Bartimaeus have been begging him to hear him. Let me ask you, you ever beg Jesus for something? More than likely you have. And you can write those in the memory bank of your own mind. They got their wishes, didn't they? And immediately he received his sight and followed him. He received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. John says, many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe. You don't have to see a miracle today, do you? These fake healers, that's all they're about. They cannot do what Jesus did. Imagine if there were one person who could go to a hospital and heal somebody, okay, of a broken leg, or of a bad heart, or blindness. Would there be people following him? Would the word spread? Wouldn't have to do like Ernest Angley does. Advertise, I'm going to be in Atlanta in June. I'm going to be in Chicago in May. They would find him. But that's not going on today like Jesus, is it? We got time for one more? We'll go real quickly here in chapter 19. Remember Zacchaeus? He the wee little man? How do we know he was little? Because the Bible tells me so. Verse 1 of chapter 19. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans. And he was rich. How did the people feel about a publican? A tax collector. And he was the chief of the tax collector. So he was a filthy rich man. Yes, he was. Yes, he was. Verse 3, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was. He was curious. He was not only rich, he was curious. But he had a problem. He was short. Some say he probably wasn't even 5 feet tall. He sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press. There's that press. Because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree, just like our little song says. Climbed up in a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. You know, I thought that was the tree of life for Zacchaeus, wasn't it? It was, wasn't it? Here was a rich man, a curious man, a socially hated man. Let me just ask you this. What if Adolf Hitler had taken over the United States? You got that picture? And one of your brethren starts taking up taxes for Uncle Adolf. And he's getting rich. And he's wearing a swastika on his arm. How would you feel about that, brother? Because Zacchaeus was collecting taxes for the hated Romans. We would have some feelings toward that brother if he were doing that, wouldn't we? Well, that's what Zacchaeus was doing. He was getting rich. He was a Benedict Arnold. He was a traitor to the Jews. So he runs ahead and he climbs the tree because he knows where the road is going, where Jesus would have to go. And when Jesus came to the place, okay, you're Zacchaeus. You're up in the tree. You can see the crowd coming. You got that picture? See all the multitude coming. And now you can see the one that you wanted to see. Jesus stops under that tree. You're up in that tree. You're looking down. And he not only walks to the tree, he stops. He not only stops, but he looks up. And what does he say next? Zacchaeus. He knows my name. Has Zacchaeus' day changed? He just wanted to see the guy. He'd heard so much about him. Like Bartimaeus had. Like the notorious sinner in Simon's house. Jesus called him by name. Does he know your name? Shake your head this way. Yes, sir, he does. He knows more about you than you know about you. Do you know that? So be careful, little eyes, what you see, little mouth, what you say, little ears, what you hear, little mind, what you think, little feet, where you go, little hands, what you do, because he knows it all. Read Matthew 25. To those on the right hand, to those on the left hand, he knew all about them. And the king will gather all nations, and every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess. That's how much he knows. Well, if he knew who was, Simon said, that was washing his feet with her hair, he wouldn't let it happen. He knew exactly who she was. But Jesus was a friend of sinners, and he was going to die. He was going to die. For people like me. I'm telling you, had I been in heaven and God said, I'm going to draw a line here, all the inhabitants of heaven, and whoever will step across that line can go down to this earth and save them, those people. Well, how are you going to do that? Well, you're going to have to be treated miserably all of your life. Then you're going to be abused. We talk about it at the Lord's table. Somebody put a sack over your head and then punch you. Can you prepare for that? You saw that young man get punched the other day. He could see the punch coming. Jesus couldn't. And when you read Isaiah 52, 53, unrecognizable. Jesus was beaten before the cross. He was not only scourged with that horrible whip. And why did he do that? Why did he do that? You've seen the Passion of the Christ. I have to turn away. That really happened, folks. And it was just that brutal. But he said to Zacchaeus, come down, for today I must abide at your house. If you were in that tree, well, what did he do? And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured. Did Jesus know how the people were going to react? Saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. But here we were thinking so much of him. He wouldn't do that. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Scholars tell me, I don't know this, but scholars tell me that what he was saying is, from now on, this is how I'm going to react. Had he been a good tax collector who was honest and wasn't getting filthy rich off of the people, they would have known that about him. But he's saying, in essence, from now on, Okay? This is how I'm going to live. And Jesus said unto him, verse 9, this day is salvation come to this house. For so much as he also is a son of Abraham, a Jew. For the Son of God is come to seek and to save the lost. Not just that woman at Simon's house. Not just blind Bartimaeus. Not just Zacchaeus. But you. And you. And you. And we sing the song, red and yellow, black or white. We are precious in his sight. Isn't that a fact, Andre? Isn't that right? He loves us all. Still. If we will but turn to him. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. Are you among that group? We prayed for you before our service. After the service began, that was part of the prayer. Did you hear that? Hopefully, if you need to respond, then you will do just that. The Lord's invitation. One time, one day, you will hear your last. We have a man who is 80 years old at home. I have known him for 40-some years. And no matter what we say to him, I know. And we put on Facebook today, people waiting till the 11th hour to obey the gospel, die at 10:30. And I'm afraid we're going to bury this man before his convenient season ever comes. Don't let it be said about you, okay? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord, and you can do that by responding to the invitation of the one who died for you, by coming right now while we stand, while we sing.